This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. Are you ready? Because here we go. But before we get started, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Heston's Beds in Los Angeles. I'm all about working hard and accomplishing what you want, but to do that, you need to sleep well and wake up well rested. Heston's deliver a world-class sleeping experience and have done so since 1852. Yes, that's right, six generations of handcrafted beds made from ethically sourced, pure natural materials. Heston's will change the way you sleep forever with the finest beds, mattresses, and bedding accessories in the world. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep. And Heston's can help you. Check them out at hestonsla.com. Thanks again, Heston's LA, for supporting our cause. Today's guest might be the fittest 48-year-old on the planet. He's the first classic Mr. Olympia winner. He's also a fitness consultant, trainer to the superstars, and an entrepreneur. His name is Danny Hester, and he trains out of Gold's Gym in Venice Beach, California. Today, we will share his story. Welcome, Danny.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. So before we get started and digging deep into your life, who is Danny?
Wow, it's a broad question. We could be here for a long time.
I know, but who are you really as a person?
I think we're all still trying to figure that out, you know? And that's the beauty of just being alive, yeah, is to try to figure that out. For most people, some people are content and they don't go any deeper. But for me, I think that is the excitement and the journey that we're all, that I'm looking for, is to find out the different layers of who I am.
Yeah, and has that evolved during your life?
Yes, sometimes faster than other times, you know? You have periods where you're kind of content and you're not really seeming to grow and evolve as much in your life, and there's certain times where you really grow and evolve really fast. And I think the last few years for me has been a really speedy, just the evolving and finding out a lot of things about myself has been tremendous, and I'm excited.
Where do you think that drive comes from to do something so well? Because I saw pictures from you, like when you were in your 20s, and I mean, you had an amazing body at that point too. So what you talked about having mentors, father figures, why did you want to always do your absolute best, you think?
I just felt that I was capable of doing it. I was given gifts. I was always faster and more coordinated than most of the kids. You know, being of shorter stature actually gave me maybe a little bit more drive. But I was always, you know, being from an Asian background with my mom raising us, I was always kind of humble. So I always appreciated people not, like, you know, when you were kids and people would pick teams and stuff, I would always sit in the back and not really want to be picked first, because I always loved to prove people, like, wow, I would always like to be the underdog and show like what you can do. So don't underestimate anyone. That's kind of my theme in life, yeah, you know, and that's why I love to help people bring out the best, because you do not know what potential someone has until you can motivate them and bring that out of them is really so powerful, because so many people are capable of it, but mentally they've just been suppressed, I guess you can say, in the self-confidence, you know. And I was just really blessed to have that. And my mother was always, you know, she was hard on us, but when it came to performing in sports, she wanted us to be the best. And she always, you know, would say positive things that we could. And so that really helped. And, you know, being very wise and not jumping real fast. Kate kind of kept me out of trouble because, you know, I ran around and with a lot of bad kids and a lot of good kids too, but I was always worried more about my family and the respect or lack of respect that I would get if I did something wrong. It was more important to me than my friends, you know, to make my mother proud and my family members proud too, because we were a team.
Yeah, you were so strong together, right?
Yeah, really was.
And I can relate to that. Like I was, when I was growing up, I was always the short kid, and I also was a little bit chubby. And then I started training, working out, and I got skinny, but I was still the small kid. So I get where you were saying. I wanted somehow to show that I was good at something. So I always fought a little bit harder than the rest of my peers that maybe were a little bit more attractive at that point, you know? So I get that, and it gives you an extra drive sometimes, right?
Yeah, no, it does. And a lot of it starts when in your childhood too. You know, I think I have a lot of, which I think a lot of people do too for different reasons, but I had a lot of fight, a lot of rage inside of me, and I needed to harness it. I felt that, you know, and it always came out when there was injustice. And so for me, not having my father, and you know, his job was very noble, working for the CIA. Yeah. And so for me, not having a father, it's sad, but it's not sad to a certain degree, because I can make up an ideal father figure in my head that if I did have a father, he might fall short of. Yeah. So I always set like a superhero for my father. Yeah. And so that's something that I lived up to, that most kids would actually have a father and they would fall short of that. I didn't have that. You know, so it was actually a blessing for me, because it made me strive to be like the best, you know, all the virtues when I would watch cartoons and everything of like superheroes and everything. And luckily, as I got older, you know, my body matured and it was just very symmetrical. Everything was always balanced, and I was very fast and strong for my size too. And so I felt kind of like a superhero even when I was young. You know, I didn't have a lot of fear, and I have a very high pain tolerance, luckily, because when I would get in fights when I was a kid, if we were to trade punches, I probably can outlast a lot of people. So, you know, I used to get in fights here and there. It was always bigger guys. I never fought anyone my size or just a little bit bigger, because for me, that just didn't feel like I had to prove anything doing that. So it was always people much bigger than me. And, you know, that's just part of, like, maybe everything that I'm doing is, everything that's big, I feel, is somehow, to a certain degree, a bully. Even corporations or governments or institutions that are bigger, I always felt that you need to fight for justice for the individual that doesn't have as much power.
Yeah, I love that. It takes courage to go after that. And why were you so angry, you think?
I think maybe just seeing a lot of injustice, a lot of racism, you know, like towards my mom and how hard she worked. I think that was a lot of it too. And just not having a lot of, I don't know how you would say, things that other kids did, because, you know, we had to share a lot of things having so many kids, and my mom worrying about finances and she, you know, there was a lot of pressure on her, and I felt like probably the rage and the anger of, you know, my father passing away and with her having to, like, do just everything, you know, so much pressure. So I think as being young, I kind of brought that on to myself, and, you know, so, and I welcome it, you know. For me, being alive is about having passion. Being sad is not a negative thing for me. It's something that really inspires me and helps me create, just as much as being happy. So anger, and I use all those tools to really kind of push me, and also to emphasize or have empathy, you know, and sympathize with other people, you know. Just that's why I love movies. I love just like hearing stories of, you know, people like overcoming things, and, you know, it's just awesome to me. So, you know, I embrace everything. I think that's why I love, like, animals so much. I love dogs and, you know, especially. It's just because I feel that there's so much abuse and they're just unconditional love. And, you know, you really have to take care of them. They can't take care of themselves, but they will give their life for you.
Yeah, and a shout out to Rocky and Chili, Danny's two dogs that are here with us today in the studio. They're contributing. So what's the difference for people listening that don't know the difference between
classic physique is supposed to be about symmetry, balance, presentation, which is in posing. It's just a whole nother animal, and unfortunately, they started not rewarding for that, because originally in bodybuilding there was, like, I think 3 or 4 categories, and they would score you in each category and they would add up all the points, where that's how it was supposed to be. And then as time went on, you know, they just were rewarding the biggest guy up there that looked the freakiest, the craziest, you know, and hopefully he had some symmetry and he could pose decently, but after a while they weren't even getting points for that. You know, there was, like, I would have to say 2013, I believe, a friend of mine, Kai Green, I had the
he's an amazing poser.
He's an amazing poser. Yeah. And he was neck to neck with Phil Heath that year. Yeah. And Phil was the reigning champion. Yeah. And they were so close. And Kai's posing is unbelievable.
Yeah. I love that
guy. His presentation, you know, it just, to me, that was a big part of it. And I think he got absolutely no points for that, which that should have determined the competition right there. And he lost. He didn't win that year. You know, so that just kind of another slap in the face to a certain degree to what I believed was the sport, you know, going in a different direction. Yeah. And
it must have been hard as a bodybuilder, because it's all, there's rules and regulations, but at the end of the day, it's the referees, right?
It's the judges.
Yeah, it's the judges. It's in, yeah, and that's so hard because it's in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah, it is. It really is, you know. But that's just life.
It's difficult. Like, I know competing in karate is like, it's a point sport. You have the katas, which is the forms, which is basically almost like posing. It's same thing. I've competed in that. And then it's the kumite, which is the points. So if it's a very close fight, it can, a lot of times the judges will choose their winner almost. And it's kind of, sometimes it feels bad.
No, and there's a lot to choosing a winner too, you know. There's guys that I've beat that I probably shouldn't have beat, because I just felt like I projected more. I projected that I was the champion more. Yeah. And we're all human beings, and the judges absorb that, and it plays with their psychology, you know. And if they're not quite sure and you're projecting I'm the champion, guess what? You're going to be the champion. Yeah.
Is confidence important?
A lot of it. Confidence to a certain degree, you know, because confidence can easily translate into a turnoff, which is arrogance.
Yeah.
So it has to be a true confidence and not because you're arrogant. Yeah. It's a fine line there. Arnold was very good at it.
Yeah.
He was very good at it. And I think because people knew his personality that they didn't take offense too much to it. I'm sure some did, but he did it. I mean, he walked that fine line. You know?
It is difficult. I know I competed more than 10 years. And like in the beginning, when you're young, you're almost like an animal. You don't care so much. But the older I got, I didn't want, like, it sounds crazy, but I wanted to win, but I didn't want to be an asshole, you know, so to speak. But you sometimes, like in sports, you have to be tough, because it's eat or be eaten, right? Kill or be killed.
Definitely.
So how do you feel with that? Where do you get that hunger? Or is it like...
have to be hungry.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, you could be better physically and performance-wise than someone else. But if you don't have that confidence that you really want it, it's actually doing you a disservice, because the judges want, people want to reward people that want something. They don't want to reward people that can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to show you're hungry, for definitely. And I've made those mistakes myself too.
Being too nice?
Yes, being a little too humble. There's a difference between performing and competing. Yeah. And you have to make sure that judges always know you're competing and not just performing.
You got to, like, if you want to create something, like, I want to create a podcast that's going to help millions of people and share stories like yours, you have to be tough. You can't, of course, I have to be humble, but I still have to be able to have the guts to ask people like you to come here, to promote it, to ask the right questions, because otherwise it's not good quality, right?
Yeah, I mean, no one is going to have as much passion or should have as much passion as the person that started it, that wants it. So no one's going to care about this as much as you. Yeah. Because if you don't, you can't expect someone else to. Yeah. It's never going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So you really have to push it and you have to own it. Yeah. And a lot of times something new, and especially when someone else, a lot of people, other people are doing it, we get the insecurity of, am I doing it as good as this person? They've been doing it longer. They have more people, blah, blah, blah. But it's the people that don't care that really impress me. And I love that. And I want to tap more into that. Yeah. Because you think hard work a lot of times is what's going to get you there. But there's so much that you need to... I've seen it all the time. There's such less talented people and things that blow up, like does well, almost more so than people that have the talent and aren't as aggressive to a certain degree, you know? So you have to just put yourself out there and you have to own it. You have to say, this is the best, and you have to say why. You have to market yourself, you know? Or else you're going to be sitting around a long time thinking, well, I am the best. It's just I'm not putting it out there as much as this other guy that's not the best. He shouldn't even be putting it out there. Well, you know what? He's going to win because that's what it takes, man. It really does.
I think that comes into, we were talking about confidence, and a lot of people work with affirmations, like saying things just as they, like you want it. Like, my name is Peter Jumrukovsky, and I'm the host of the biggest podcast in the world that is helping people daily achieve their goals. And today I have the best athlete on the planet, Danny Hester, here, right? And I mean, that's how we grow. Do you do affirmations?
I do, yeah. And I kind of do, not necessarily out loud, you know? I have it inside, and I know that. And sometimes, you know, like I have some talks with my wife because she really, I think a lot of people, but I think women also, they really need that affirmation too, you know, given to them also. And she's very humble. She needs to project that and say it herself. You know, I've accomplished a lot in my industry, so I don't have a problem saying that because I have a history of doing things and being successful and the people I've worked with and everything. But I definitely can take more advantage of it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing is I need to say it more. I think we all need to say it more. But, you know, sometimes it's... I mean, look at our president. He made it to the presidency, like, affirmation, you know, when it's not even really true.
I know.
But that. Guess what? If people don't really know, they're going to say, oh, okay, he must be. Because look how confident he is when he says it.
That's crazy. You know? Yeah, we live in a crazy world.
I know.
So how did it feel? You're on the stage. They're announcing your name. Did you feel it? Did you know that you're going to win?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Before the competition started?
I did. Or
you did?
I really did.
What was that feeling?
Number one, I worked probably the hardest that I've ever worked. And I really... I respected myself so much for that. I dug deep, you know. My knee was hurting, so many things, you know, but I knew that my body was still progressing, and at my age, my body was still performing. It was doing what I was asking of it. It took a little more warm up and it hurt a little bit more, but it was still responding, you know. So I knew I had the gift still, you know. It wasn't done, and I was just kind of forcing it, and mixed with the knowledge and the confidence, it was just the perfect chemistry and having the history of everyone rooting for me because I always represented classic physique, yeah. you know, and a lot of these guys, even though they have real high social media followings, that gives them absolutely no history. You know, they can post maybe pictures from 3 or 4 years back, and that's about it. You know, when I can go back when I'm on a horse at 20 years old, yeah. looking, you know, classic.
Yeah, I saw a couple of pictures. It's like you've been doing this for life, man.
I've been known for always being in condition and in shape, yeah. you know, and motivating people for that.
I have so much respect for guys like you that have been doing this for a lifetime, you know. It's so many hours and hours of refinement and training and injuries. And it's so, we could talk all day what you've been through, right? Because it's insane.
And it's also not about even just the competition. You do it for yourself. Yeah. And I've always done it for myself. Yeah. You know, the competition is just icing on the cake. But when I'm done competing, I'm still always going to be competing as far as getting myself to be the best. There's going to be times where I take it easier because of work or whatever I'm busy doing. But in the back of my head, I'm always like, get back. Let's just get back to that level that you need to maintain. When I'm 80 years old, I want people to look at me and say, he carries himself differently. This guy used to be an elite athlete at one time. You know what I mean? It just really breaks my heart when I see elite athletes that don't compete anymore. They look terrible. They don't take care of themselves. And it's just like, why? What happened? Yeah. You should at least maintain a certain level more so than just the average person.
Because of the
discipline you had. Why did you give up? Was that not a true passion that you had for whatever you were doing?
It's for life, right? It's not something you do and then stop.
Lifestyle, man. It's definitely for sure.
Lyoto Machida said that to me, the UFC champ. It's like he said, people don't understand. This is a lifestyle. I train every day. You know, it's not a joke. You know, it's life.
Yeah, and the opportunity will come if you're always ready. No need to get ready, and you don't know when the opportunity is going to come. Just like what happened to me with the classic division.
Thank you for listening in, guys. And again, a big thanks to our sponsor, Heston's Beds Los Angeles. Heston's will change the way you sleep forever with the finest beds, mattresses, and bedding accessories in the world. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep. Check them out at HestonsLA.com. And if you have any questions and comments, please email us at info@ilsuccess.com. And also don't forget to check out my book, thegoldbook.com. And if you like this episode, share it with your friends and family. That's how we grow, and that's how we can help more people. Thanks again, Danny, and thanks all of you that are listening.
Thank you.